You know, that is so hilarious. You know, that if you were actually sharing problems and someone came out with that, what would you do? You would go running out of the room screaming, wouldn't you? But actually, when you think about it, there is something hilarious when you can start to see, you get past the creepiness. You see some of the joy of life. Because the search in our lives is to find meaning. I think more than anything else, peace, love, joy. These are the things you add hope to that. These are the things that people long for and think about. I'm happy sometimes, you know? But then I think, boy, there ought to be more joy in my life. People come in and searching here for that kind of experience. We're all in a search for joy. That's part of what we're looking for. When we were single, some of us, we thought marriage would bring us joy. We got married. And it did bring us joy. It also brought us other things. And then once we were married, I remember thinking, boy, kids will bring me joy. Just so bad. I just wanted to have children so bad. And then we had children. Okay, and I was thinking, what else? Actually, the kids were pretty awesome until they became teenagers. And teenagers became weird. And then we think, wow, just get the kids on from, get them off to college. And then I'll be happy. But the truth of it is, none of those things are the source of joy. You see, joyful people find something that transcends the circumstances of their lives. Think of every great thing you've ever done. You feel joy, you feel thrill, but then you're looking for the next joy. You're looking for the thing that lasts, the thing that lingers in your heart. Because the truth of it is, there is joy to be found. There's joy to be found. I want to, you know, for those that are younger this weekend, they're going to hear this message. You know what? I have found more joy in being married in the last 2 or 3 years than in any other time in all the years of my marriage. Now, you better double check with Paula, see if she feels the same way. Because I'm never positive about that, but I'll tell you, there's joy to be found, but you have to look for it. You have to think about it. You have to understand what the source of joy is, and that's what I want to talk to you about for the next few minutes. Because here's what I want you to understand about the character, the characteristic, the quality of joy, is that it comes from God. Now, if I was going to tell you God is the blank, the whatever, if you were going to decide in the universe, God is this, what would you say? What would you think it would be? Would you say, you know, God's the most powerful. God's the most able being in the universe. God is the most just being in the universe. In fact, I just came from being in Palestine, meeting with Palestinian pastors in the Palestinian Authority in Israel. And I met a bunch of Islamic leaders as well. And it's interesting, in Islam, you know what their passion more than anything else? God is what? He's just. It's all about justice. Would you be surprised today if I told you that God, as the Bible describes him, is the most joyful being in the universe? The joy is at the heart of who God is. If you're taking notes, I just want you to write this down, and then as you go out to brunch after this service, I want you to debate this. I want you, is this really true? Is God really the most joyful being in the universe? Is joy really at the heart of God? Because for many of us, we don't think of God this way. Back with many of us grew up in environments where we thought God was watching. The Santa, the Christmas of Santa Claus, I remember at some point being 7 or 8 years old of thinking about you better not cry, you better not pout. I remember thinking, man, Santa Claus is a creep. He's watching you to see if you've been naughty or nice. He's going to come down and smack you. In fact, probably the greatest comic strip guy of our generation, the Far Side, one of his real famous images of God at his computer, He's getting ready to hit the smite button. Is that what you think of the God who is actually not the smiter? That's not his vision? In fact, the scripture says God, in the New Testament, talks about that God is so patient. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. You believe that? Just think of that, my church growing up, and the people I loved in. I loved the pastors, loved everybody. And our church talked about grace, talked about the love of God. But it really felt like that the church at the core said, yeah, it's all about grace, all about love. But it's really all about the rules. It's really all about the rules. You do this and you don't do that. You be really careful and you watch out that. So you really were looking for the God who was going to hit the smiter button. Compare that to what Jesus says in John 17, 13. Jesus says, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Now, I just want to give you a little tip today about this message. I'm not talking about joy today. I'm talking about his joy. Because if we talk about joy all day, you say, well, I gotta leave here today and I have to feel more joyful. I gotta generate something deep within me so that I'm happier than I've been for the last 51 years. It's not gonna work. Unless you understand that there's a source of joy that's real and powerful. Jesus said, I want you to understand the full measure of my joy. You see, he isn't about rules at the core. He's about life and freedom and forgiveness and joy. John 15, 11, just before this, Jesus said, I've told you this. So he was teaching them about what's going to happen. He said, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So, let me just ask you, you want joy? What do you need according to the New Testament? Go ahead, answer me. If you want joy, what do you need? You need his joy. You need the joy of Jesus Christ. If you want joy, you connect with his joy. Otherwise, you're just not going to find it. You'll laugh at Charlie bit me, but you'll walk out of here and by the middle of this afternoon, the joy may be gone if it's up to you. I just came back from this most amazing experience. How many of you even knew, by the way, that Israel is building a wall around Palestine? How many of you knew that? Raise your hand if you knew that. Okay, if you didn't know it, raise your hand. Would you? Okay, a lot. I didn't understand. I'd heard it. I didn't really know what it meant until I went there and I was meeting with Palestinian pastors that are church planters in Palestine among what is now predominantly the Muslim people, right? And to get to Bethlehem, the city where Jesus is born, you have to drive through a checkpoint that's about the size of four of our doors. Not big at all. You know, maybe one huge truck could get through this checkpoint. And it's surrounded by an 8-meter wall. I'm thinking it's about as high as the wall right here. They're not building it around Bethlehem. They're building it around the whole country of Palestine. This impossible situation that you know as Palestine in Israel. What I didn't realize, that 50% of the people that are living behind that wall in Palestine are followers of Jesus. They're Christians in Bethlehem. Most of them are Orthodox or Catholic, but there's a solid number of Palestinian pastors that would find a real connection with Kensington and a group of people that we could help. These people are people that live in the country of their ancestors. Most of them have lived there either in Bethlehem from birth or from ancestry or where they were displaced in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Most of them lost everything. Most of them have had family members killed. But here's the amazing thing. There was joy there. There was forgiveness there. There was love. There was hope there. You see, that's the kind of joy we're talking about. It's not a gimmick. It's the fact that you can live in the shelter of this wall. How many of you have seen National Geographic? Have you seen the dove, the white dove flying up with the olive branch in its mouth and a red crosshairs on its chest? I stayed at the hotel across the street from that image. I saw that every morning. That's the image of Palestine within Israel. But if there's a joy that's real, it's going to come from Jesus Christ, that he would be the source of joy. So I want you to think about that. I want you to leave today thinking about Jesus Christ gives joy. And then God, if this is true, if the Bible's true, is the most joyful being in the universe. The second thing I want you to understand is that laughter does a body good. What you just experienced this morning as the service was beginning did you good. You believe that? Let me share with you just a couple of stats. Do you know that when you laugh, your heart rate goes up? Do you know that when you laugh, you lose weight? I want to keep, I need to laugh more. How many of you need to laugh more? You burn 78 times as many calories laughing as you would in a resting state. Man, somebody needs to sell this machine. Dr. Fry from the University of Stanford said, if you laugh for 10 minutes, it's like getting on a rowing machine for 20 minutes. Scientific proof that laughter reduces the risk of cardiovascular disease. In fact, I remember the greatest, we've been killed by infomercials, right? The last 15 years on television. If you go home today and you watch TV in the middle of the day on Sunday, there'll be 20 stations with infomercials on exercise equipment, right? If you're a channel surfer, remind me to flip, like, you got to be kidding me. And a lot of you bought this stuff. Well, guys, the best exercise machine that was ever built was the one my mother bought 60 years ago. I remember as a kid growing up at home. And you know, some of you are going to know exactly the machine I'm talking about. You'd step into it, and you'd put the belt around you, and you'd turn on the finger. He just, who thought of that? They must have sold millions. How many of you remember someone? Look at that. Someone is living as a billionaire today because we were dumb enough to buy that thing. But I will tell you, as a kid, I remember laughing harder at that. We just like, you just put in that thing and just, you know, just shaking. I mean, who thought of that? I'll tell you who thought of it. A very joyful person. I wonder where that machine is. I really think we should have one. Like, if you're depressed, come here. We're locking you in for 30 minutes, okay? And we're going to make you watch Tommy Boy while you sit in there. I don't know, but it's the whole idea that there is laughter really does change our lives. Proverbs says this, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. That's just the way it is. That is the truth. I remember at my father's funeral, my nephew, David Curlin, who's actually he's coming here for Memorial Weekend. He's going to be interviewed as a part of our service for Memorial Day. You know, he's been a chaplain. He's been special ops. He's been Army Ranger. He's been a church planter in Albania. And he just came back. He and his brother both had 15-month stints. And I'm going to interview him about his experience of Christ there. But when David got up at my dad's funeral, some of you have seen that on DVD. David got up and started And it was kind of the beginning of the service, and he said a couple things, and everybody started laughing. And I remember sitting on back behind him as I was kind of emceeing the service, and all of a sudden, I felt something in me. There was laughter, not just the crushed spirit, but the laughter that was coming that begins to give us life. You guys might have read this recently in the news, but it was about a husband and wife. An older couple went to the doctor. Husband's really sick, went through tests. When the test came back, the doctor excused the husband, said, can I just speak to your wife in private for a minute? And he just said, I'm sorry, ma'am, to tell you, but your husband, it looks like he's going to die. He's going to die, certainly, unless you do three things. If you do these three things, I think you can save his life. She said, well, tell me. He says, number one, you need to cook him three hot meals a day. This is really important, breakfast, lunch, dinner. If he needs a snack, cook really good food. It's going to take a lot of effort in the kitchen. Number two, you need to realize that TV and resting is really important. Give him the remote control. You need to let him watch what he wants. Number three, you need to make love to him every day. If he asks, even more. If you do these three things, you can save his life. So she walks out of the office, and her husband says, so what did the doctor say? She said, honey, you're going to die. Oh, you heard that. That's such a corny joke. But the point is, it's too true. Is that why it's funny? It's too true. You're going to die, honey. You see, laughter really does a body good. Just think of how you feel now after laughing. It's an amazing thing. The third thing is that I want to challenge you to think about is this, and some of you are going to immediately object to this. The third image is that joy is a choice. I really think that joy is a choice. There's a tough part where our wills collide with God's will, and there's some choosing that takes place. And I thought, some of you are going to fight me, and I even fight myself on this, because there are some times when I just feel like I am so wiped out, and there's been points in my life so discouraged that I couldn't choose anything. Have you ever felt that way? Just curious. Have you ever felt like you just were so fried, you couldn't choose joy, you couldn't choose anything else? You ever felt that way? Somebody nod. Okay, because I felt that way many times. I want to explain to you what I mean. This is so important. Joy is a choice because joy is really a decision to see and understand what joy really is. And that's what I want to tell you as I finish this message. Nehemiah said this in Nehemiah 10. He said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. This is after the people had grieved over losing their connection with God. In a great book, the book of Nehemiah. And he said, send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, if you read Nehemiah, it's an amazing story of Nehemiah coming back and of reconnecting the people to God. And when they begin to read the words of God, the people in Nehemiah begin to weep, like thousands and thousands and thousands of people just begin to weep because they had left God. They had rebelled against God. They had lived life their own way, and they were weeping. And at a certain point, Nehemiah comes up and says, listen, no, you don't get it. You've come back to God today. And this is not a day to go fast and live in depression. This is a day to eat and feast and celebrate because God loves you. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so really, instead of saying choose joy today, this is what I say. I say choose Jesus. He says, I came that you would have my joy. My joy. That's the theme of this. The joy doesn't say joy is your strength. It says the joy that comes from God is your strength. To engage with the person of Jesus Christ. You see, many times in life we have no joy because we choose not to see the lover of our soul. Some of you never even knew that you could go to Jesus for joy. You thought you had to go to Jesus for joy and for rules. But when you figure out what Christ has done for you and the relationship that he desires to have with you, then you can choose joy because you begin to choose him. And here's the cool thing. I'd love for you to write this down. You can choose joy when you understand that Jesus chose joy. Rejoice in the Lord. Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. What is Paul saying? He says, when you rejoice, when you look for joy, what do you think of? Okay, right now. Say, okay, I want to think joy. Then what do I think of when I think of joy? Do I just think of laughing? Do I think of cute videos? What is the image that you need to leave here today in your head when you think of joy? Here's the image, Hebrews 12:2. Take a look at this. This is what I want you to think of when you think of joy. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay? Leave it up there just for a second. I want you to imagine that this is the cross right here, okay? And Jesus is somehow in his relationship, we try to understand the relationship between God the Father and God the Son, is that joy was set before him. Now he's on his way to the cross. And there's joy, but the joy also includes enduring the cross. Are you with me? Now here's the question. What was the joy? This is important. This would be as important as any question I've ever asked you. What's the joy? What's the joy set before him? As he's looking to the cross, he's going to die for the sins of the world. What is he looking? What's the joy on the other side? What is it? It's us. What does Jesus have on the other side of the cross that he doesn't have on this side of the cross? Say it out loud. Say me. Let me hear you. What does Jesus have on the other side of the cross that he doesn't have on this side? Is that amazing? He saw the winning of you and me as joy. Now think about that. This is the creator of the universe. This is the God who makes those beautiful yellow, little yellow birds that sit outside my kitchen window and feed those little tiny, were they finches? What are they? Goldfinches. They're amazing. The God who created those. We had a little goldfinch on our little bird bath. He was trying to get the water yesterday. Zoop, right in. It's pretty funny. He got it. He didn't know goldfinches were harmed in this experience. But he went into the water. The God who created that goldfinch, the greatest joy he ever knew was what? Winning me back. A rebel, selfish, self-centered, self-seeking, Jesus Christ saw joy on the other side of the cross to win me back. Now, when I get up tomorrow and I'm feeling down and I'm feeling mopey and I'm struggling with this, what do I think of? He chose me. I choose joy because Jesus chose the joy that included me. I don't care how worthless I feel, how lethargic I am, how much of a, how empty success is or how bitter failure is. We choose Jesus Christ because he's joy. He's the magnet. Guys, this is so exciting. You see, Jesus saw the horror of the cross, and he saw joy. So when you think of joy in your mind for the rest of your life, what's the image I want you to have? The image is of Jesus seeing you on the other side of the cross. That's joy. I want you to say it out loud with me in hopes you remember, I hope some of you write it down. When you think of joy, you think of Jesus seeing you on the other side of the cross. Say it out loud. Jesus seeing on the other side of the cross. That's what real joy is. See, that's not fake at all. That's the most costly, painful, agony. But it was joy to live in life and love and relationship with each other. That's why you can choose joy, because Jesus chose you. He chose joy. He chose the joy of you. Now, how do you look for joy then in regular life? Just as we wrap this up. We look for joy in people. Most important thing is to look for joy in other people. That's why I told some of you, particularly, do you know what the quickest way to get old is? Quickest way to turn into an old fart is to stop being around little children. You hear me? I was with good friends down last, one of our little kids, and she came running down here and picked me up, and I picked her up, and I'm like, whew. I almost passed out. It was a beauty. And I looked on my shirt to see if it had come through. And I thought, you know what? It's been so long, I haven't picked up a kid in months who smelled like that. I'm removed from life and from the joy of, who runs to, other than my dog, who runs to me like that? Get with children. See joy in people. See joy in loving. See it in turning the television off and going outside. I'll tell you, for a huge issue for me is being outside and being in physical exercise. One of the great problems that we struggle with in this culture is we don't experience joy because we're trying to observe joy. We're trying to observe joy. And TV is a great tool, but I'll tell you, the horrible thing about it is what? The horrible thing about TV is that you're trying to absorb joy rather than to experience joy. Does that make sense? To get out and live. To get out and laugh. Go out and throw the football with your son. Or go out and walk. Or go out and help a neighbor. Go out and dig a hole. There's something in that. And to see Jesus in everything. Every time you see a flower, every time you see a bird, every time you look at another human being and realize there's no human being in the world like you or like you. Some people look at me, there's no human being in the world like me. People go, thank God. Just all. Hallelujah. Because God's uniqueness is everywhere. We need to rest. We need to see life. You know, my daughter Nancy has been in France for this past year, and I, after being in Israel, stopped and spent time with her, and we had a wonderful time. We visited a bunch of the World War II sites in Normandy, had an unforgettable several days with her. In fact, you'll hear more about that this coming messages from me and things I saw and experienced. But as my girls have gone, you know what's interesting? Images remain. Images remain. And all this year, one of my favorite images of Nancy has kept returning. It was when the girls were young, and I was so fatigued. Remember when your kids were real little and you're just tired all the time? Is anybody like that here today? You're just tired all the time. I have so many pictures of those years. I feel bad because I loved those years. Every picture of me in the family picture is like, here's all the girls smiling, here's Dad in the back. I was tired. And I remember one of the things she used to do is go just rifle through the linen closet, get towels and bed sheets and everything, and create something in the house. You remember that? They're all girls. Don't do that. And the Muppets were big in those days. And Nancy, who was our middle of the three girls, this before Jeff was around, I remember the first time that she came in and she had taken a towel. I don't know who showed her how to do this. She'd taken a towel and safety pinned it around her neck. And she was kind of a chunky little thing. And she comes in and she runs over the blue couch and she jumps up on it. She's got the towel behind her. She goes, Super Pig. I've never forgotten that. All this year, you know, not seeing her, being gone for a year, I think of her, and I'll tell you, for good or for ill, Super Pig comes to my mind. Because it's the moments of joy, of really pure joy, that we remember. And the most pure joy ever is that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, there was joy on the other side. You know what the joy on the other side was? He saw Super Pig. He saw the little girl that was going to put a towel around her neck. And he was going to love her for eternity and do whatever it took to bring her into relationship, just like he'd do anything to bring you into relationship with him, because that's real joy. The last image I want to leave with you, and then we'll receive the offering. Well, maybe I'll just leave Super Pig with you, but I'll leave you one more. Marco Island, Dave and Ann were down there for Rob and Sarah Cucheron's wedding right after Easter. And some of you have been to Marco Island. You know there's a tradition to go see the sunset at the end of the day. Have any of you ever done that? Or just curious? Some of you? It's pretty cool, isn't it? It's a beautiful place. And they realize, you know what the tradition is people go out, and often by the hundreds, sometimes by the thousands, and they will go out, and they'll watch the sunset at the beach. And everybody will stand, and it's quiet. People go out and just stand and watch the sunset. And then very often, usually what happens is everyone gives an ovation as the sun goes down. They're applauding God for his faithfulness, for the beauty of the world and the beauty that he's created. I don't think they're applauding for the sun. Thinking, isn't that amazing that the sun just popped up into the sky and just happens to, you know, completely warm our earth in an effective way and to make things green and live and grow. But it's a recognition of God doing something. And I think what it is if the sun goes down, the joy is staring us in the face. And the people in Marco Island, they watch it go down, choose not to miss it. You know, and they know the next day the sun's going to rise again because of the faithfulness of God in our lives. How about you? Where are you in this journey? Have you been sitting inside too long? You've been trying to manufacture your joy for too long when His joy is available. His love for you is immense, unfathomable. His faithfulness to you is proven by what He did on the cross. When I know that, I know then that I have a chance for joy. And so do you. Ushers, I'd like for you to go ahead and come down to receive our offering. Really appreciate your faithfulness, every one of you that's part of Kensington in this journey. This financial thing is part of joy. It's part of the joy of being in a journey with Christ and being on mission together. I'll tell you, there's joy in being on mission together that's just unbelievable. Our band's going to come out. And here's what I'd like to do the last maybe 8 or 9 minutes of this service as we wrap up. I want you to think how God has been faithful to you today. I want you to think about how He's loved you this week, this year, ever since the cross. Maybe start from there and work forward. And then together, I would love for us to maybe in a minute to just celebrate back to Him, to reveal our thankfulness to Him along the way and to His faithfulness, just like the rising and setting of the sun. Some of you are visiting today. Again, just